As we prepare to hear scripture read, let us join together in a prayer for illumination. Spirit of life, God of love, open our hearts and enter in that hearing your word of love, we may become your love for others. Amen. Our scripture reading today continues in the letter Paul wrote to the people of Corinth. And today we read Paul's familiar passage about love that is found in chapter 13. These verses reveal the true purpose of sharing our gifts with God's people. So let us listen together to the word of our Lord. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end, and as for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we began last week a short sermon series on being the body of Christ and read in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth the numerous gifts that have been given to God's people. And Paul pointed out that each gift is valuable and necessary for the health of the body of Christ. Paul will talk more about the gifts the Spirit gives to God's people, but before that, Paul sort of pauses to talk about the gift of love. And Paul explains that nothing we have, the gift to accomplish is meaningful unless it is done with love. Now, remember that Paul is writing to a church community in conflict. People were arguing with one another. They were competing with one another, judging one another. You know, all those things that still even happen today. Not just inside churches, but we also see it happening outside church communities. For years, people living in community with one another and seeking relationship with one another have found it difficult to sometimes live with an attitude of, well, loving another person for whom God created them to be in this world. So often, even in the church, it is easy for us to begin to value the wrong things. Productivity over spirituality, effectiveness over a caring heart, people in the pews over disciples, being members over being lives transformed, power and position over service and servant leadership. The attitudes of God's people are what likely prompted Paul to pause in his discourse on the varieties of gifts and remind those who read his letter that it does not matter how successful we are as a church or as a Christian if love does not flow out of everything that we do. That's it. Just love. Paul isn't telling the Corinthians they need to be knowledgeable enough to share a deep theological discourse. He isn't saying that they need to use the gifts given to them perfectly or live perfect lives. All of our accomplishments and awards and stuff we collect throughout our lives will never, ever buy or give us a place in heaven. The only thing that matters is, did we love others as Christ loves us? Paul says, whatever we do, even if we do it well, means nothing if it is not done with and in love. This is the thing that must be at the center of all of us who dare to call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. Love must be at the center of our life together as a community of faith. Because if we are grounded first in genuine love, if we speak and act first out of love for our Lord God and for our neighbors, for ourselves, then all other things will follow. The challenges the church in Corinth experienced are the same challenges that we often face today. It's the challenge of living in community with one another, and at times that's really difficult. Honestly, probably more times than we'd like to admit. It is to the church. So often we bring our baggage, our worries, and well, to be honest, not always our best selves. The challenge then is loving one another at times when we might not be too lovable. Our goal is to see Jesus Christ in the life of another human being and love them as Christ loves them. Writer Parker Palmer shares a quote that I think is really important for us to hear today. He says, the mission of the church is not to enlarge its membership. It's not to bring outsiders to accept its terms, but simply to love the world in every possible way, to love the world as God did and does. If we are able to love the world, that will be the best demonstration of the truth which the church has been given. Loving the entire world is an overwhelming task, but we can begin by loving one another and loving those we cross paths with on a daily basis. I've been thinking a lot about those in our church family who, well, to be honest, have just sort of drifted away, probably because I've been attending a few church meetings in which we have reviewed the church roles, as we're called to do every once in a while. Some who, you might say, have drifted away from full communion with us have mentioned to elders or to me that, well, there was something that happened years ago that made them upset, and they just haven't returned. They've sort of gotten out of practice. Not sure they want to endure the rigors of being in communion with people who have upset them before. And of course, these feelings exist when broken people live in community with one another. But there's a part of me that's determined to help those who are disconnected find a renewed connection within our church family. And it's not necessarily just because we need them. I mean, we do need them. It's clear that it's getting harder and harder to find members willing to serve as officers in our church or participate on communities or in committees. We need more of God's people engaged in the life of God's church. But on the other hand, we are also reminded that they need us, or I should say they need the experience of a church community in which they have the place to engage their gifts in new and refreshing ways. We are called to see ourselves as worth something in God's community that we call the church, and we do matter, each and every one of us, and even those who in some respects have drifted away. And whether they realize it or not, their lives are richer and more complete when they are part of the beloved community of Christ created within the walls of God's church. And the truth, the other truth is that our lives are richer and more complete when they return to participation in the life of this church as we all learn to love God's people passionately and with intent. Too often we talk about salvation primarily in terms of what we're saved from. We're saved from sin, from condemnation, from an eternity of frustration and suffering. Or when we do talk about what we're saved for, we talk about the someday of heaven, of the coming kingdom, of all that is to come. And to be sure, there are times when such things do need to be discussed. But 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a different answer to the question, what are we saved for? We are saved to love. We are set free to love. We are empowered and equipped and enabled to love. That's what it means to be saved. Not just saved from or saved for, but saved for love. The love that Paul talks about is some days quite difficult to experience and some days quite difficult for us to give, but the beauty of God's purpose in our creation is that we don't practice Christian love alone. We practice it together. We need the presence of all of our members among us willing to experience a glimpse of kingdom living as we live as a church family. Now, of course, the kingdom living we will experience in heaven will be free from pain and guilt and anger and all those emotions that, well, don't feel good. But until then, we keep living together with the intent of loving others first and foremost. So I propose that if you are in contact with someone who is a member of this church and hasn't been attending, then please ask them to come back to their church family. If there are those that are maybe visiting today or watching us online who haven't been connected to their church, we invite you to make that connection more secure because we need one another. And maybe those that haven't been at church for a while, maybe it's not on a Sunday morning that they find their connection at first. Maybe it's being involved in some sort of other activity that we do in the church or attending Sunday school or the Tuesday night small group. We can also start other small groups just to help other people feel comfortable engaging in church again. Whatever it is, we need to let them know we need their gifts and their presence among us. We need to remind them that they have been saved through Christ's love so that they can be set free to love others with all of the gifts and abilities that God has given to them. And this might be difficult to hear, but if we engage and invite people and we find that they have found that amidst another community where they are sharing their gifts, then let us offer them blessings and encouragement that they would continue to participate in that church setting, even if it isn't our church setting. We have all been saved by love so that we can love others. And so it's time for us to reunite with the ones who we do not see at church. Let's show them our love. Alleluia. Amen. Well, what better way to remember Christ's call to love others than to have this time in our worship to welcome with love people who will be joining our church membership. With great joy, we receive and welcome 6 new members into the life of God's church. Representing our session is our clerk and ruling elder, Susan. Paul's words to the people of Ephesus remind us of our mutual calling, where Paul says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So at this time, we have the honor of welcoming new disciples into our church body.
On behalf of the session, I present Carrie, Phyllis, and Michael, Anita, Dorothy, and Cheryl, who are being received into membership of this congregation by transfer of membership. Each of them was examined and approved by membership by the session on January 27th. At this time, I invite them to come forward.